I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Noon hour here on a Monday. We are a couple minutes away, hopefully, from hearing from Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, also on Mondays, our lunch partner, our friends over at 30 Hop. And today, $5.99 classic burgers at either location. Whether you're out in Lee's Summit or in Merriam Grand Station, their new location just down the street from us. You can stop in for lunch, stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio with $5.99 classic burgers today. Of course, we're talking about what we all agree is the end of the 2025 Chiefs playoff chances, even if the math still says that, yes, there's a path there. But I think we've all watched this team enough this year, and stringing together enough wins for starters, let alone getting help, is just not in the cards for the 2025 Chiefs. We'll get back into Patrick Mahomes and the wide receivers, right? The stats looking at Mahomes with one of his worst starts, if not his worst start of his NFL career, but then also the wide receiver room that once again had drop after drop after drop and now has the second most drops in the National Football League, and the types of wide receivers, frankly, that the Chiefs have, and flat out being wrong, and that includes us in the media as well, about the wide receiver room back during preseason. I think everybody was very, very excited about a fully healthy room, and they're not as good as we all thought, plain and simple. So we'll get back into that in a bit. We also have stock up, stock down. But
other than the Chiefs, the stock's way down.
Yeah, we keep stock up, stock down is a segment, if you're just tuning in for the first time in a while, we do every Monday, and it has nothing to do with the Chiefs, but clearly stock down on the Chiefs. And here is the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and whenever you hear him on a Monday, it's brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others.
Just to give you yet, Wanye's did not look good. We'll be able to get you that later as we go. Listen, it was a great atmosphere for a football game. The fans were phenomenal. We came up short, obviously.
We'll come back here just for a second because we're
accidentally maybe hit the old mute button or something there. We'll get that. We'll let you know. All right, we're back.
The guys an opportunity on those fourth downs to make plays, take full responsibility for that. Thought we could muster something up there, and I knew points were important. So, but that's my responsibility to make sure those work. And then, the obvious is we've had too many drops. You got to take care of that. I'm not sure where these came from. We've been catching the ball pretty good there till last couple games. So we've got to go back to that and make sure we're done. These are great players that have had some drops, and quarterback, I know, would like to have a couple of those throws back. But we've got to start making those kind of plays offensively. And defensively, I thought, again, the second half of the game, we played really, really good sound football and made plays. We're able to put the ball back into the offense's hands. And then special teams, I thought, did a good job too. So with that, time, Jared.
We'll go first to Jesse Newell. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Sid, I'll have a follow-up too. Hey, Andy, I wanted to ask you about the 4th-and-1. Can you just go over what you're trying to do there? It looked like you were trying to get Hollywood out in the flat there, but can you just go over your intentions on that one?
Yeah, so Jesse, we thought we had a good play. Some of the going for fourth is you've got to feel what you've got, and we thought we had a good one for him, and you're seeing that, right? It was the throw to Hollywood, so.
And great. And right after the game, you said going for it in hindsight was wrong. I just wonder, after further reflection, leaving Patrick Mahomes out there on a 4th-and-1, how you feel about that decision now, a few hours later, having a few hours to think about it.
Well, listen, I mean, we've been so good in that area, whether it was run or pass. And so I felt we were in a good position. I thought we had a good play. Again, I thought it was the right thing to do then. This is terrible to say in a situation like this, because we didn't win and we didn't get that, but I would probably do that same thing again. But I also know when you don't get them, it can be a problem, and especially when they're in that field goal range area. Very aware of that. But again, I thought the risk reward was right for that time. It slapped me in the face, though, so it didn't go that way.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney.
Coach, about 17 years ago in 2008, you guys needed help from two teams in week 17, and everything kind of broke your way, and that team went to the NFC title, I guess. How do tales like that, maybe, with your own experience and then maybe other teams, help in just keeping the faith and keeping the team motivated?
Yeah, I mean, you hate for it to come down to that, Pete, but I have learned over the years that anything's possible. So, I communicated that to the guys. They're down the dumps after the game. I mean, they put their heart and soul into that thing, and we came up short. So, but at the same time, there's a way you've got to pick yourself up and get yourself going again. And hope is always a good motivator there. So I think our guys realize that. I mentioned it to them after the game. Not that that's what they wanted to hear at that particular time. They were still very upset about what just went on. They wanted to win that game, obviously.
Thanks. We'll go next to Matt Derrick.
Hey, Coach. Kind of maybe following up on last week a little bit. What went into the thought process of having Wanye on the left side and Jalen on the right, and ultimately even having Essay come in and play on the left? And is that the plan probably going forward as well?
Well, Matt, we had, you saw the matchups and all that. So we always take matchups into mind, but also, where the player's comfortable too. So that's what we felt was right. I can't tell you if that will be the case this week. We'll see how things go and the game plan part of it. But it, with the exception of the pressure on the 4th-and-1, there were some pretty good things that, that I thought we did there. But 51 got us a little bit on that 4th-and-1 to where we wanted to go with the ball. But other than that, it was, I thought they were a respectable job.
And, obviously one of the big plays on that touchdown drive the Texans had was that Noel Williams holding call. What did you think of that? Because obviously it seems like the third party reaction is that was not really a holding call.
I think my reaction probably to it said it all. That I think, you know, we'll just leave it at that. You can go back and look at the tape. I'm sure you have, Matt.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Serene.
Coach, I'll have a follow-up. You had a 4th and 5 earlier, Coach. I know you went for it on the 4th and 1. I'm just curious when you got the penalty that shortened it to 4th and 5. Is there any kind of thought process there, or could you maybe take us through why?
So there are 5 minutes and 12 seconds, I think, left on the clock in that area. I really felt like we had a great play there that we could dial up that fit into what they were doing defensively. You know, by that time you have a pretty decent feel on what's going on, and you know, so listen, I mean, I thought we were within striking distance there to take care of it. It didn't work out. I mean, it's
I'm talking to Coach about when you went ahead and pimed. Just did you give some consideration to going for it earlier on the 4th and 5? You had the penalty that shortened it down. I mean, and you didn't end up going for it. I didn't know. Was that a close one?
I think through them all. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you. I don't go through it. The one we went for, I felt real good about. The one we didn't go for, I wasn't feeling it. So, listen, we had a productive play there, or the chance for a productive play, and we got to make sure that we take care of business there. So,
and then just my second one to follow up, kind of on Pole, what did you see? I mean, he you know, a lot of the analytics, a lot of the grades say he had a pretty good day. I'm just curious, you know, did he exceed your expectations? Live up to him? Do you think there's even more there from him?
Yeah, sir. And so after the game, I mentioned, you know, I was proud of him because he had no reps in practice for the most part, other than just a couple fill-in things. But I thought he did a nice job for what he was asked to do. We just picked him back up here, and he, again, had limited reps, jumps in, and I mean, he's a rookie, so he jumps in and did some pretty good things against what I think is a very good football player.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
We'll go next to Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned the drops, and this is not a team and a bunch of players who have had kind of drops like that. In your experience, can you put your finger on just in general why drops happen, kind of if there's a threat on those? And I'll have a follow-up as well.
Yeah, it's not from a lack of effort part. It could be as simple as just taking your eyes off the ball to see where you're going to where you want to go in these traffic throws. That can be the case, or maybe the ball's a little bit on your back shoulder and you gotta squeeze it before you finish it, you know, and take it, try to take it up the field. So there are all kinds of things. It could be part is a throw, part is just making sure that you look it all the way into the tuck.
And then last night, the guys were pretty devastated in the locker room. We were in there, and you mentioned that, you know, how about the coaching staff? I mean, you feel like you need to kind of cheer everyone up? I mean, there's still 4 games to go. I mean, how does that kind of operate around just the building, and who does that fall on?
Well, it falls on me, first of all. So our guys will be ready. They'll be ready to go. And we need, you know, I think you go through this and you kind of regather your thoughts, and time is a friend here for you in that area, because you spent a lot of time on this, Todd, as you know, getting ready for these games. And there's a lot of effort that goes into it. And you should feel that if you've put everything out there and you've come up on the short end, you should feel a sense that, listen, we've got to do better here. And that's not a great feeling normally, but on the other hand, you go back through and you still have an opportunity to go, that fires you up. And so you just need a minute here to to catch it. Now, we don't have the players in today, so they're going through that. We're deep into the Chargers right now, so as we speak. So it's that's how it rolls.
We'll close it down with Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, Sam.
A couple of things. I wanted to ask you just about the fourth quarter, you know, comes up and you guys are tied. You've been in that situation a ton this year. Do you feel the same sort of energy, you know, effort to execution on the sideline that you do, you know, throughout the rest of the game? Do you feel any sort of similarities and maybe why they haven't worked out?
Yeah, listen, I do feel it. I thought there was great energy, actually, going into that. And I don't think it was an energy thing that got us in this game here. I felt like the guys were into it, were encouraging each other, and it seemed very positive. We just had a couple negative things go wrong. I mean, that's where I'm kicking myself in the tail on the fourth down. I mean, we did have some momentum, if you want to call it that, but there at least was a positive feel going. And trying to build on that, but it didn't work out. So when they don't work, it's not a good thing.
And then I wanted to ask you about a very specific play that we didn't ask Patrick about last night, but the play where it looked like it potentially could have been offsides, there was not a flag thrown. Was there confusion about whether or not that play was live? And because it looked like you had, you know, at least Hollywood was open downfield. Was that a play that you maybe sensed as a missed opportunity to get some yards in one way or another?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I thought it was offsides. I mean, I think everybody did at that time, but it wasn't called. Normally, Patrick, when he knows it's offsides, he hangs onto it and tries to shoot it down the field as far as he can get that thing to go. So to a receiver, but he got a little bit of pressure there and late as he was waiting on it. Yeah.
Thank you, Coach. That's all we
have. All right, so that was Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Arvest Bank, believing in the power of serving others. I want to, of course, talk about the fourth down decisions. That was a theme of the entire press conference. Again, I don't know about you. I feel even worse about the moving forward of how they're going to operate on fourth downs this year and beyond, unless changes happen with how they approach that. There's two answers I want to play. One, Andy Reid was essentially asked if he'd do the same thing again on that fourth and one, 10-10 game, need a yard at your own 30. Defense at that point in time was rolling.
Well, listen, I mean, we've been so good in that area, whether it was run or pass. And so I felt we were in a good position. I thought we had a good play. Again, I thought it was the right thing to do then. I this is terrible to say in a situation like this because we didn't win and we didn't get that, but I would probably do that same thing again.
Cool. Mm. So I agree with the text line first off. Andy sounds down today. Sounds downright depressed.
Well, everybody knows the reality of the situation.
But, whew. Okay, so I guess without just yelling into the microphone, because people don't like that, Andy's answer there is, for a Hall of Fame level coach and one of the best to ever do it, idiotic. He looks stupid. It's a stupid answer. And if that's his actual approach, it's moronic. Your approach to fourth downs, given the information highway that we have available to us, cannot be, I was, quote, feeling it. And hey, why didn't you go for that one earlier? Wasn't feeling it. That. It cannot, cannot be your approach to fourth downs. Stupid! It's a stupid idea!
Didn't even play the part that I think you're reacting to the most, which is, where it was clearly all about the vibes.
I think through them all, but yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you, I don't go through it. The one we went for, I felt real good about, and the one we didn't go for, I wasn't feeling it, so.
That's your
approach? Wasn't feeling it. It changes that. You want, by the way, if you're wondering why
this
it changes
isn't a first date.
If you're wondering why it changes week to week, well, there's your answer. Because he wasn't feeling it that week, and he was feeling it a different week, and feeling it on one drive, and didn't feel it on another drive. That there's your answer. If you're like, wow, it doesn't seem like there's much rhyme or reason when he decides, because there's not. There is no rhyme or reason. He just feels it again, one way or the other.
There were great go for it opportunities that he should have felt it against the Cowboys. There were better opportunities in this game to go for it, including the one after Kareem Hunt dropped the first down catch. And instead, it's just, and again, this is the problem. He's reacting to the game as if a fan would react to the game. Because what happened before that play was Patrick Mahomes gave you all a little juice, right? Gold, you're feeling good. Oh, look at Mahomes running through a linebacker. That man, woo! And he just got a little like, you know, got a little juice in his shoulders. And he thought, screw it. I'll just go for this fourth down. And you're like, that can't be your operational. Like, think about how much prep Andy puts in there. They talk about the sheets of paper. He plans. He's meticulous. He's careful. He's thoughtful. He builds his roster in a particular way. Andy is one of the most precise and distinct and particular coaches I've ever been around in any sport. And you're telling me that with all that, his plan on fourth down is still vibes?
Isn't a lot of it, though, vibes? Like,
vibes?
With every coach?
It's got to be a combination,
I think it's fair to... I see where he's coming from. Not that I would have made the same decision, but yeah. I understand if he's got the right play call that he thinks can get it, I understand why he feels like they can go for it there. Just the same as Nick Sirianni is like, well, it's fourth and short. I'm doing the tush push. I don't care if we're on our own 25. But
you said it right there. So that's the
he
thing.
He has a plan.
And he now look, in fairness, Andy, in
Andy
that
has
moment,
a plan
he
too,
thinks
though. It just didn't work.
Yeah, so exactly. So that part I will say... Like, it's not to say there's no plan with the play call. They did have a plan for the play call. We all did not like it the minute they went empty.
Yeah.
The minute they went empty and eliminated half their playbook. So they had a plan in terms of the actual play. That part, I think, is true. But what I would say is the play that they have a very high success rate with is more successful than the tush push is what? It is running it with Kareem Hunt, in particular at times under center, but... The what are they called? The Hunt Bunt or whatever the hell that was a couple weeks ago that they called it? Or the Hunt Bunt just disappeared, I guess. That's not reality. So yeah, Drew, I think there's a mix of quote unquote the vibes with also analytics, with also situation and everything. I don't want a coach to ever just be analytics. I don't want it to just be vibes. And Andy Reid is seemingly just vibes. He basically acknowledged that. If I feel it, I do it. I got to have a combination of both, though.
The text line saying, stop talking like Andy Reid like he's an idiot. He's not an idiot. I'll tell you all the things again. Andy Reid is a great coach for so many different
reasons.
He's
not immune to criticism, for crying out loud. What are we doing?
It's the way he handles training camp, the way he coaches, the way he designs stuff. That has largely worked. There's a reason why he is one of the most successful coaches of all time.
Yeah.
If this is truly the way he is in an honest moment describing his fourth down approach, that part... of the 100 points he gets as a coach is stupid. He openly admitted that in that game, there were two different circumstances that would give you equal opportunity to go for it. Some that would actually tell you gold are a stronger go for it. And he just does it based on if he feels like it or not. Feels like it? That's a terrible on fourth down. So like, again, the other part about this, Drew, is if there's a time in which you need to have a plan more than any other time in the game, I can damn sure tell you it's fourth down or third and short.
Yeah, and I understand Rashee Rice. I understand Rashee Rice dropped the football, but this is a team that has the second most drops in the National Football League.
Yeah.
This is who they've been as a team as well. And so part of my vibes also has to be what's the likelihood that I'm going to execute here? The defense was playing some of the best football they've played all year, and you allowed CJ Stroud to have the opportunity, because say what you will about if it should have been caught or not. You gave them an opportunity, though, that if you don't get it, to automatically get 3 points. They ended up getting 7, but to automatically get 3 points. Last night, so essentially, Andy Reid, because he was asked in fairness, hey, did you think about it any differently than you did last night? And so he answered the question, so I want to at least give him the benefit of the doubt on that part. But last night, this was his answer.
I thought we could get it. That was the decision. You know, I was confident we could, you know, we could do that. So it's important that you take advantage of opportunities. I thought it was an opportunity. I was wrong. No, I mean, hindsight, it was wrong.
In hindsight, it was wrong. And then today he was asked, what do you think of it? And he said, I would have done it again. That's my issue.
Yeah. He needs to have. So, like, I mean, you know, like you said, he has a meeting with Daniel. Cancel it. You don't care about it anyway. That meeting on Friday, work on some other plays for third or fourth down. Cancel the meeting with the analytics guy because that's wasted everyone's time.
Is it the analytics guy?
That's like
guy?
Me going to meetings I don't care
Did
about.
Did Andy say it was an analytics guy?
I'm taking
guy.
Notes.
Because did Andy say it was an analytics person?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that before in the past, that he meets with his analytics person on Fridays to go over situational stuff and the statistics behind it. What I'm saying is that's the same as if they call me down for a meeting about August coffee filters, and I have to go. It's mandatory. I'm not doing anything in that meeting.
You want to know what the analytics person probably said, though? You want to know what the analytics person probably said to Andy was, I mean, it's fourth and short. ESPN's probability says it's a go. And
it was a go.
If you feel like you can get it, then go ahead and go.
But it was a go.
I'll just say the ESPN. Watch this Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football game and tell me when the graphic says don't go for it.
That's why I'm saying, what's the point of having the analytics person when they just say to go anyways? That doesn't make any sense to me where you kind of just have to go off your vibe, because if the analytics say to go 85% of the time that you look at the analytics in any situation, then you're going, if you follow the analytics, then Andy technically not only went off his gut, but also went off the analytics when he went for it.
But his gut,
that's what I'm saying.
His gut has like IBS. It just chooses whatever it feels like. Oh, I ate toast today and now I'm sitting on the toilet for half an hour.
So if Andy,
and the other day it was fine. He has no reason to it.
So if Andy would have gone for it on that fourth and five or whatever and not gotten it, would you have been happier then? Because he would have consistently gone for it.
You know I'm pro-go most of the time. This one in particular is a time in which I genuinely want. Look, I would go for it more than Andy goes for it. But what I genuinely want out of Andy Reid is an actual either a plan, Drew, that is vibes, but vibes that have any kind of consistency. His vibes have no consistency. They are just, I go for it when I feel like it. I was given three opportunities in the Cowboys game to go for it. I didn't. I was given two other opportunities in this game to go for it. And then all of a sudden, on a fourth and one for my 0-30, I just kind of felt good.
So you would have been happier.
So I just decided to do it.
So you'd be happier if he were to go for it every fourth and, if it's fourth and three.
This strategy?
No,
yes.
If it's fourth and three or less, you'd be happier if he went for it every single time.
If it was the 50-yard line and every time it was fourth or three, and his new plan was if it's fourth and three or less and I'm on the plus side of the field,
I'm not there. That's where Cody and I differ.
You want the consistency more than you do.
This has nothing to do with any other decision in week three or week nine or any. My issue was last night. It's a 10-10 game. Your defense is dominating. It's clearly not a game that's going to be a shootout. CJ Stroud hadn't done jack whatever in the third quarter, and you allowed them 3 points, a risk of 3 points right then and there. When your defense, prior to that, what were the numbers we had? 18 plays, 17 yards given up in 1, 2, 3, 4, the five prior drives. That's why I had an issue with the decision. I think it was clearly the wrong decision.
And then
you compounded it with, a play call when you eliminate half your playbook by going empty. Yeah. And yes, Rashee Rice still, both can be true. We can still say Rice should have caught the football. That's also true. 913-586-7965. This is when we have fun on the text line, because we got 60% of the people on the text line saying, thank goodness, finally you're saying it. And we got about 40% saying, you guys are too negative. What are you doing? You're idiots. So, hey, you know what? It's a Monday after the Chiefs season essentially ended. People are fired up.
We can be in different places.
Up next, I'm sorry we're not just all positive and everything is fine when, you know, they're 6-7. Up next, we'll get to stock up, stock down, plus random questions.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Question of the day.
Back here. Break about other plays we would have liked better.
Yeah, because people were saying if they would have got it, you know, you would have been fine. I said there's one exception. You're right. You got me. If Andy Reid, for the first time in 6.5 years, would have come out on that 4th-and-1 from his own 30, got under center, and shocked the world and done a QB sneak, you know what? Then you're right. I actually would be on the air today calling him a genius. You're correct. That's the one circumstance. I stand corrected. I'm wrong. If Andy would have gone QB sneak, I would have actually come on the air and called him a genius. But he's never doing that again, so therefore he's not in that particular moment.
Oh, man, I sure wish he would. That'd be cool.
Anyway, we'll get to your random question of the day in a couple of minutes.
I'm sorry about being negative today. I just don't know what else reality. We're supposed to do.
It's a 6-7 football team.
And I'm mad because they have Patrick Mahomes, and I feel like they should be winning Super Bowls. You know? That's it. And I, as I prefaced before, I still think Andy Reid does almost everything very well as a head coach. I think fourth down decision making is bad. And it's just like sometimes he gets them right because he just like guesses. Okay, sure, I'll go for it today.
All right, let's get to stock up, stock down. Remember, we do this has nothing to do with the Chiefs because clearly there'd be a lot of stock down today. We used to stock up anything other than the Chiefs each and every Monday. Stock up, I guess I lied. It's somewhat adjacent to the
Chiefs.
But it's
not about the Chiefs themselves.
Stock up are January and February trips out of MCI and destinations in Florida and in the Caribbean, and schedules opening up for people to go on trips in January and February, specifically Super Bowl weekend. That's what is up.
I think I might go to a bar to watch the Super Bowl.
No, that's
for the first time in years and years and years. Maybe go out in public, or maybe go to a friend's house or something, you know? You and I have been either at the game or watching these things in a way that's not exactly like
it's true.
Friendly in the like normal fans.
Yeah, where do I
want
to watch Matthew Stafford win another ring? Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. No. Stock is definitely up on those trips, though.
Where are the flights going? Galveston?
Won't be Galveston. Maybe they're going to the Bahamas.
Is that where they should
maybe
be Cancun. Sent is Galveston.
Cancun, they can join some players that won't be in the playoffs this year, too.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. My stock up is on new good reasons to vote for Hall of Fame in a silly way. Jeff Kent got announced as a senior award winner for the Hall of Fame. So he's officially in. I want to remind you, and this is like, it's the silliness of it that makes it so funny. Jeff Kent owes his entire Hall of Fame career to the 5 years he got a hit behind Barry Bonds. His entire war collection of when he was one of the better players in baseball gold is when he hit behind Barry Bonds. Man got into the Hall of Fame. So congrats to Jeff Kent for taking advantage of being a Hall of Famer before the guy who made him a Hall of Famer. And I get the cheating and all the other stuff. And we don't have to get into the reasons why you and I would do it different. But Jeff Kent, this is the problem with the Hall of Fame.
Drew, if I went to the Hall of Fame and I wanted to learn about the history of baseball, I don't ever need to know that Jeff Kent played baseball. I do need to know that Barry Bonds played baseball.
You want to know something? I'll be totally honest. You said Jeff Kent. I was like, what Hall of Fame are we talking about? This goes to show you my...
But you know who Barry Bonds is, right?
Well, yeah.
It actually sums up my point perfectly. Thanks,
what,
Drew.
What did you think Jeff Kent did for a living?
Oh, so tires, dude. Jeff Kent.
I did see his name pop up, though. Jeff Kent made the Hall of Fame, and I was like, oh, cool. I just kind of kept scrolling. Probably it could have been hockey. I don't know. Or I don't know. Shout out to Jeff, though, man.
You know?
This goes to show you my
shout
lack of...
I have no problem with Jeff Kent getting in. It's a joke when we know that, and everybody has a differing opinion about the steroid era, but when you see that, like, obviously Bonds and Clemens and those guys aren't getting in. Heck, I think Don Mattingly should be in the Hall of Fame as well. He was also part of this group, this cycle or whatever. So
I'm glad I could help prove your point, Cody. You know, I'm glad.
Jeff, you did. You absolutely proved my point.
My stock up is not for a Jeff, it's for a Kurt. Kurt Cignetti. Stock is as high as it ever has been. That man's the best coach in college football.
He might be hard to argue right now.
He led an Indiana team that their best record in program history was 8-4 to the Big Ten championship game, and then beat Ohio State, the Ohio State, in said Big Ten title game. And he didn't even smirk as he was walking across to shake the hand of Ryan Day. He is a stone cold killer, and he led one of the best turnarounds in sports history, not just college football.
I legitimately give him a ton of credit. That introductory press conference, it was the most arrogant thing I've almost ever seen out of a coach. When he stood at that podium and said, "I win, Google me," and just told the rest of the room, "You know why they chose me? I win." And he's got him as the number one team in the college football playoff. Damn.
You sell your vision of your culture. I mean,
who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you?
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
I swear, if they win the national title, they need to get him a chain. They need to buy him a chain that says "Google me."
My goodness.
That he can wear. Unbelievable.
Few other honorable mentions for stock up. I agree. Text line Darren Peterson. That's true. He definitely lived up to the high plate and the KU win over Mizzou. All right. Stock down. Bowl games. One, we've always known there's too many of these to begin with. But this year, and the way the college football playoff played out, and team after team after team, including Iowa State and KU and K-State and Notre Dame and a few others that
Baylor.
I can't remember. Sure. All saying,
all of them.
Yeah, we don't need to play in the bowl game. These are a joke. I understand they're sponsors, and that's why we have them. And these bowl directors make way too much money and stuff. It's absurd. We bowl games are heading down. I think in the next 5 years, we're going to have major consolidation with bowl games. They don't mean a damn thing.
Stock up for my kids. Screen time. Getting ready to go way up.
Hold on.
Wife is out of town for the next 4 days, and I have 30
stock up or stock
finals
down.
Up. Or down, sorry. Stock up. Screen time management. Wait. My apologies.
Okay.
Screen time management.
Sorry. I was like, hang on a second.
Stock down my screen time management. I have to grade 30 finals this week, and my wife's out of town. You know, they're about to find some time on the Nintendo.
Uncle Drew, you want to go over there and help them out?
Uh-huh. Yeah, come on, come hang out with the kids for a little bit.
At this point, Kramer is more associated with your house than any of us are.
He's familiar with the house, but you know, like. You like kids, Drew? Will you know, play a board game? You play some Monopoly?
Kids really into the Dude Perfect game, or
I don't know. There's a couple of others. The Best Friend game, you guys could play that. We could play that. You want to play that Friday on Fan Club? Play the Best Friend game and see if we know each other better and Carrington and Rob know each other?
We could do that.
I think I'm
That'd
down for
fun.
That. I'm down for that, actually.
That'd be fun. Just one quick round of the Best Friend game, you know? They're getting ready to Nintendo... Playtime's up. My caring about it down.
Mm. My stock down is for the Shador Sanders haters. He had the first 300 yard game, I believe Dusty said, since 1949 yesterday.
For a Browns quarterback?
Yes.
Okay. That can't be right. I am
whatever. They might be. Their Browns quarterbacks stink.
Maybe 300 yard, three touchdown.
No, I think it was 300 yards straight up. I'm surprised. But anyways, it doesn't matter because the point still goes the same. Shador is proving the haters wrong. I will say Mel Kiper's got to be feeling a little bit better than all of us after he just lost it in April time and time again as Shador kept falling. Kevin Stefanski said he's going to be the starter for the rest of the season, which is the right decision, I would say. But also him being able to prove that he can make more throws on a regular basis, I feel like is something that is not necessarily helping his case, I guess, to stay as the Browns quarterback, but in terms of being a viable option and a person who needs to be considered given the quarterback play in this league from some starters, I think Shador is kind of proving that he should be getting a look at being a starter in this league, whether it is in Cleveland or somewhere else.
He definitely deserves a look. He's going to get it. What was the score yesterday of the game? Oh, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. The one win Tennessee Titans did beat the Browns 31-29.
Hey, hold on a second. They scored 31 and they held Miles Garrett to the least amount of pressures he's had all season. No, that's not on Shador for losing that game. It's also on Kevin Stefanski. Did you see the 2-point conversion call? He took Shador out of the game and tried to run a double reverse that failed, and the dude didn't know the play.
It was really bad. I will say there have been other 300 yard games. It must be 300 yard, three touchdown, okay, or rushing touchdown.
Dusty said 300.
You know what's funny? Is that there's probably been a quarterback to do it since. But when you said that, I said, I know that's wrong because I remember Kelly Holcomb having a 400-yard passing game for the Cleveland
Browns.
Kelly
Holcomb.
How long ago was that?
I went and looked it up because I was like, no, I remember Kelly Holcomb balling out in a game for the Browns.
When was that, the 80s?
He had 392 in 2003. He had a 326-yard passing game. Against a three touchdown, 326-yard passing game against the Chiefs
in 2002. It wasn't 303.
It must have also been with a rushing touchdown. It must have been like the culmination
I was given a fake stat earlier this morning.
I mean, he had a great game because he had a rushing touchdown, too.
Oh, yeah, he was great. He threw for 364 yards.
He also had 413 against Cincinnati in 2004. So Kelly Holcomb had a run.
Not quite as historical, then.
Maybe he's the next Kelly.
I do believe the point remains the same, though.
Yeah. No, he should be the star the rest of the way. Who else are they going to start at this point? So it should be him. And if he performs well enough, he'll have a chance to be the starter. But by no means, he's not guaranteed to be the starting quarterback next year for the Cleveland Browns. Still not yet.
No.
Absolutely
depends
not.
On who they draft.
We'll see where he's at.
They were talking about Deshaun Watson's going to have a chance to compete for the starting job. Wow. That was a real report from this weekend.
Deshaun Watson wishes he could do what Shador did. Okay. Based on what we've seen from Deshaun Watson over
At any point in his career, now.
Based on what we've seen from Deshaun Watson in his time in Cleveland, he wishes he could have a game like Shador has.
Because
we know that he's just not the same player.
If it's time in Cleveland, then I agree.
I mean, if we're going back to Houston, then obviously, I mean, that version of Deshaun Watson was incredible. The quarterback play in Houston that he had when he had D-Hop and everybody like that.
It's a good run.
The running back was Arian Foster, wasn't it, too? Or was that Schaub? Did that have a Schaub?
Arian Foster obviously was there, but I don't remember the exact
time. He ran all over the Bengals in one of those playoff games.
Stock up and stock down.
It is.
You want to talk a little Chiefs before we get to the random question with the drops?
We can, because look, if you just look off of the stats for Patrick Mahomes in a couple of categories, it was the worst start of his career. Now, we can get into more details on it. I think we all agree the drops were there, but I'm just telling you what some of the numbers are saying. 19.8 passer rating, worst of his career. 42.4% completion percentage, worst of his career. He ended the game with a negative 0.454, EPA per dropback. That's the worst start of his career in those metrics. We also know what is also true. What, 8 drops in that game by the Chiefs wide receivers, including a huge one from Rashee Rice. I do think the Travis Kelce drop that turned into an interception, that pass was not the best. It's one that Kelce throughout his career usually catches, though. But that one was actually more on Mahomes than I think people realize. But the Chiefs are tied for second in the league in drop passes this year with 24, according to ESPN research. And so time and time again, I do think while Mahomes by no means has been perfect and with no means was perfect yesterday, his receivers have let him down in a massive way throughout the entire season, too. And again, that's not taking him completely out of the realm of fault here. But that yesterday, the reason why it was a 42% completion percentage, it had eight or nine drops.
I got to say, for a team that's been a second round pick and a first round pick in two of the last 3 years at wide receiver, so 2 years ago and 3 years ago, do we have any, can I tell you anybody on this team right now will be a wide receiver for the Chiefs 3 years from now? 2 years from now? The answer is no. That's a huge problem for them. Xavier Worthy has taken a step back. Rashee Rice has taken a step back. The most consistent guy for what he's asked to do and what he actually does might be Tyquan Thornton, and even he dropped a deep ball. That was and unfortunately, that was Mahomes' best deep throw probably of the season. He's missed some deep throws where he hasn't hit guys in perfect stride. Hell, he even threw a pick later in this same game where he had an opportunity to do it. But yeah, it's a problem, man. The drops are an issue, and I think Patrick Mahomes is human at times, like any quarterback can be human at times. And I think when he senses things are slipping away and his team's not going to help him, he goes hero mode gold. And he's like, I'm going to do this all myself. And I'm going to solve all these problems myself. And I'm just going to keep making throws. And these guys, you know, like someone's going to catch it. And it has to be incredibly deflating. The fourth pass you put in a pair of hands of a, even if it's not a perfect pass, because the Kelce one that was a pick, a little behind him. But you're a professional tight end. You're a professional wide receiver supposed to make these catches. It's the fourth one that goes through Rashee Rice's hands on a crucial third down. It's got to be deflating, man. It's got to just feel sick because there were four different drops on third or four, five different drops on third and fourth down in that game last night that would have been first downs. Kareem Hunt's probably being the most egregious. But that one by Rashee Rice over the middle. And then again the next drive. It's bad. I think we just probably overvalued the wide receivers as part of it. And Mahomes had a horrid game and he was pressured 18 times and he only completed two passes against those pressures. So he's feeling that too, even though we thought the offensive line held up okay considering what they had left in the tank. It was just an overall mess of an offensive performance.
This is what it's been all year, man. This is what it's been all year. As I mentioned, where they're at on drops all year. But last night, drop passes, missed blocks, flags, questionable play calls, bad throws, giving up third down conversions. You're not forcing turnovers. You got a doink field goal. I mean, it had everything. If you had not watched a second of the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs, you got it all right there. Yeah, right. You see that game last night? That's who they are in 2025. Yeah. There's no shocking performance last night. Like that's what they've done all year. We've all watched this throughout the entire season.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but
they ran. They had the ball four times in the fourth quarter with a chance to either tie it or take the lead. And then what do? They get 19 yards and throw two picks.
You almost wouldn't have to show anybody another Chiefs game. Like if somebody's like, hey, I woke up from a coma. I see that the Chiefs are 6-7. Can you tell me what happened, Alex? In 3 hours or less, can you tell me what happened to the Chiefs in 2025? Be like, yep, you're just going to watch the Texans game. That should pretty much sum it up. I think we got it all squared away here. You'll see special teams mistakes, coaching mistakes, quarterback mistakes, wide receiver mistakes. The only thing that would be confusing to them is that they actually had a pass rush for one of the few times this season. That'd be the only thing that didn't tell the story in the 2025 season is, hey, see, this pass rush, it was the opposite of that most of the year. And then other than that, you'd be squared away. You'd be totally squared away. Let's get to it.
Random question.
That has to be a long one. We can talk about it more as we talk some college football playoffs here in a minute. But random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care. At KCUC, remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. I'm going to keep this one simple, and I'm going to ask you whether or not you think that this is a reasonable thing to complain about. Today, the athletic director at Notre Dame said that he couldn't believe the ACC threw his school under the bus when advocating for Miami to make the college football playoff, saying that they permanently damaged the relationship between the ACC and Notre Dame. This is a sports-related random question, which is random. But, like, is this a rightful gripe for a team that wouldn't even join their conference? Or should he just shut up about it and they're supposed to defend the teams who are actually in their conference? And Miami's at risk of leaving. They're a flight risk. They could take off at any time. Why would he think that they're owed to stand up for Notre Dame instead of Miami?
I think it's because Notre Dame is in the ACC in every other sport besides football. That, they're in the ACC.
We're talking about football.
I'm not talking about
the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. I think that it is it makes sense, I guess, for him, for the AD. But in regards to the college football playoff conversation, you're going to hype up the teams that are in your conference, obviously. I mean, in Notre Dame is an independent. They have chosen to be an independent. I'm sure they've been offered by the ACC. Why not come on over? But the Notre Dame wants to be an independent.
Do you think they'd leave the other sports?
You should blame yourself for that.
Do you think they'd leave the other sports? Like, do you think they're so mad at the ACC that Notre Dame would come join the Big 12 and do a scheduling agreement with them instead of the ACC for football?
In terms of the quote-unquote branding, the Big Ten should be all over it. If you're Notre Dame, though, you can almost see, I think if you wanted to guarantee yourself a playoff spot every year, you go to the ACC. They could dominate that conference. Clemson's not the same as it was anymore. Stay in the ACC and dominate in football and go every year. The Big Ten, you're not guaranteed. The SEC, you're absolutely not guaranteed. The Big 12 and Notre Dame just sounds weird.
Yeah, I have no issue with Notre Dame being left out. You lost.
I don't either.
You were compared to a team closely that you lost to head-to-head. You're not in a conference. You already have an agreement for next year. For some odd reason, they agreed to it, which is if they're ranked in the top 13, no matter what happens resume-wise, they're in.
So they can stay independent.
Yeah,
sure, that's why.
But that's why they don't need to join a conference, because they got that agreement. That agreement should never have been signed. Should never have been signed.
I think a lot of people didn't even know about that.
I did not know until yesterday.
I didn't know about it either.
Why yesterday is when the news. Hostage. College football playoff loves the brand.
It's a massive brand.
So what? If you ignore them, do you think the Notre, if anything, you force them to join you?
I agree.
By ignoring them, that massive brand either gets left out too many times that they're like, well, we better get in a conference and actually joins the party. Or worst case scenario, they're exactly the same. There isn't some alternate league or thing Notre Dame can do.
I don't think you should be allowed to be. Frankly, I don't think at the FBS level, you should be allowed to be independent anymore.
I don't think we should.
It is only them and UConn right now. Yeah. Those are the only two.
It used to be
UConn's independent.
And UConn is in the Big East technically for other sports, so they're a little bit of a floater where Notre Dame is UConn's in the ACC and every other sport, so why are they not
UConn
in football?
Would also happily not be independent if some other conference would just take them.
It's
a little different.
UConn in the Big 12 was a little bit of a thing. They were flirting a little bit, but it ended up not going.
Yeah, UConn's football program stinks.
Oh, they went. Hold on.
They lost their head coach. This is how bad they're...
They went 8-4.
Yes, but
I understand.
How bad is the program, Drew? Because their coach went 8-4, and did he not leave?
They did just...
And then where did he leave, though?
No, I understand. He went to Colorado State. But this
he
is
left
thing.
UConn know, for on, Colorado
hang
State.
Hang on a second. They just beat the team that won the ACC title.
I know, but their coach, that tells you how the program stability is. The coach left UConn for Colorado State.
You know why? Because they're probably like Kentucky. They're probably giving, like, out of that $20.5 million, I bet you 15 of that is for basketball, for men
and
women.
Right. That's why it's not a good program.
It's a resource thing, 100%.
I'm with you, but yeah. Also, did you see that? Remember all the talk about Sacramento State? Their coach was there for 1 year and he left. Clearly, the money everybody claimed they had, not true.
Apparently, he also...
Not true.
So, their coach is notorious for one-year bouncing, two-year bouncing, two-year bouncing. This is like the third time he's gone 1 year and bounced a job.
Mm. That's okay. Hmm. By the way, Monday's football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. All right, let's talk about how confident you are that changes could be on the horizon in the offseason. This is the first time we've seen this group in this spot. Are they actually going to make some changes? We'll talk about them next.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.